Jesus, you loved me.
It's music from Andrew Eastman, Heaven Bound, the name of the song. Before that, from the African Music Experience, they call themselves, Above All. And we heard from John Angotti, All Things Are Possible. And good morning to you now, 12 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Jim, and good morning, Dave. Good morning, Don. Good to be with you this morning.
Don is our staff biochemist. Every radio station should have one, and we just delight in his presence and his contributions every Monday morning about this time. Don is a board member with Creation Moments. Of course, it's a ministry that has to do with the young earth and getting back to the Bible for the basics, and in particular Genesis, and we just delight in talking with Don about science versus faith and creation versus evolution and topics like that. Don just reminded me we were going to talk about The Harbinger today, which is an amazing book that was out in 2011. I finished mine. David, have you finished your copy yet?
Not quite.
Ooh. And Dr. Don, have you finished your copy yet?
Oh, I read it once. I'm going through it a second time.
He's memorizing it. My goodness. This is going to put us at a disadvantage. David hasn't finished it yet. And I want him to especially see how it ends, because now The Harbinger would you call it prophecy? It's really about prophecy, but in itself is not prophecy, right?
Well, no. Well, it is a warning. The Harbinger, the word means, you know, warning or a sign or watch out, folks, because a catastrophe is coming. And so not giving too much away, you know, from the book, it really is a warning. And this is, in this case, it's an Old Testament warning to America today.
And we'll get into that, I think, in more detail next week once David has had a chance to finish it, because we'll want to spend a couple of weeks on it, I think, the ramifications and insights and really some of the under themes of that book are just stunning, and we'll talk about that. But I had told everybody we're going to talk about Frankenfish today. This is a topic that I think you brought up a week ago. The FDA, according to this article, is getting closer to issuing final approval of the first genetically engineered food animal. It's a salmon. And they've engineered this salmon to grow up to 5 times faster than normal so they can bring it to market faster. And the draft assessment is now open at the FDA so people can make comment, public comment, for the next 60 days. And I guess this article is probably a week or two old. It's over at Mercola.com if anybody would like to follow it up. You can just put in the one word, Frankenfish, F-R-A-N-K-E-N, fish, and then Mercola. It'll bring you right to the article. Dr. Don, this is really in your bailiwick, genetic engineering and biochemistry. And I guess I have to ask the question, should we be doing this? Is there something fundamentally wrong, or is it simply the way that we're doing it that that causes us to worry?
Well, I don't think we should be doing it, period. Yes, it's a scientific, it's of interest from a scientific point of view. Can you, modify or increase the metabolism of an animal, in this case a salmon, a fish, to grow faster? And what they actually did was they put a growth hormone, they spliced a growth hormone into the genes of the salmon, and wound up with a fish that does grow and metabolize 5 times faster than a normal fish. Now, the problem is, if you can study something in a closed environment, but when you start putting things out into the environment, in this case, they want to put them in ponds, isolated ponds, you have the potential of wiping out a complete species by doing this.
Because somehow, accidentally, they may get mixed up with the general population of fish, right?
Right. And the argument goes like this. Well, we're going to take precautions on keeping these fish isolated. We're going to have a couple of barriers, maybe 2 or 3, maybe 4 barriers for these fish. But if you have a pond, you've got to have water flowing into the pond. and water flowing out of the pond. And then you have another pond that water flows into. And then ultimately, it's going to go into a stream somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, baby fish from these fish could possibly escape, get into the natural environment, and then cause a havoc with the natural salmon that, could be around.
I'm reading this comment now from a Purdue University a computer model that tracked the effects of releasing just 60 of these genetically engineered fish into a population of 60,000. And according to that computer model now, it wasn't an actual test, but a computer model, there was complete extinction of the normal fish in just 40 fish generations. That,
right.
It would seem, would get somebody's attention.
One would think, and the Canadians also made a super fish, if you will, a similar type of thing. And they actually put fish in a tank with normal fish, and everything was fine when the fish had enough food. But when they started depriving the fish of a little bit of food, the frankenfish went crazy. They started to cannibalize not only the natural fish, but also the genetically engineered fish.
Of course,
and
But that happens with normal fish populations. I know that here around Minnesota, they've been trying to stock walleye and raise walleye in ponds for decades here. One of the big problems to overcome was cannibalism. I mean, fish do that. The big ones eat the little ones, even of their own variety. And so I'm not sure that behavior is all that surprising.
But these apparently are much more aggressive than your natural fish, and so the ones that are going to survive are going to be the bigger cannibals, if you will.
Well, and of course that's true, because the genetically engineered fish get bigger sooner, so they'll have an advantage in eating the little ones, which would be the natural ones.
They eat more food. So because they are growing faster, they're consuming much more food than your natural fish. So if they do get into the big threat, of course, is if it gets into the environment, what impact is that going to have? Now, nobody's going in their right mind would ever do that experiment, on your own and say, well, let's just see what happens. And, you could wipe out the salmon population.
But I can also easily see kind of like just some individual who wants to experiment on his own without the safeguards, without the knowledge of how to do this. And if anybody has access to these modified fish, this could be an accidental introduction into the general population as well.
Yeah, that's correct. And you can get access. I mean, if the intention, which it is to sell, to sell the salmon, you just need a whole fish. These are females, and they said, well, we're going to sterilize the females, but even the sterilization process is not 100%. So you've got, I think the percentage was 95% sterile, 5% non-sterile. I mean, so fertile. And so then you have the possibility of even some of these fish getting out and mating with the natural population. Mm-hmm. And, it's in my mind a big problem. We have no business going around genetically modifying these things and then putting it in the environment. If you look at the corn example, for example. where they have genetically modified the corn and the soybeans. If you have a field, let's say an organic farmer is trying to plant organic corn, and that field is hundreds of yards away from fields of genetically engineered corn, his field will turn into genetically engineered because of the pollen that gets blown into his field. And this was a big issue early on because Monsanto was suing the organic farmer because they said, wait, your corn has traces of our marker, in your corn. So obviously you're using our corn and not buying it. The reverse should have happened, where the organic farmers should have sued Monsanto.
Mm-hmm. Well, did Monsanto win that suit?
Well, they wound up not winning the suit, but the poor farmer, I mean, you know, this big ag chem company mm-hmm. suing a little farmer, and he has absolutely no chance in winning that suit.
Kind of seems like Monsanto should have known better, I would think. Well, you know, if they were honestly motivated.
Yeah, exactly. So I could see the same thing, you know, happening here. What's going to happen to the salmon industry? These fish are also not haven't been proven not to be completely safe to eat.
Well, that's the other aspect, and Mercola's blog is concerned that they will be in supermarkets within a year or two. Comment from Michael Hansen, who's a PhD and the senior scientist at Consumers Union, to quote him, the environmental assessment states that the FDA has found that the salmon is safe to eat. However, we are deeply concerned that the potential of these fish to cause allergic reactions has not been adequately researched. The FDA has allowed this fish to move forward based on tests of allergenicity of only 6 engineered fish, tests that actually did show an increase in allergy-causing potential. So, again, maybe the pressure of all those dollars at stake rushing this thing along a little faster than it would normally go.
Well, yeah, and I think so, and it's one of those things that you can have limited, you know, research data to say, okay, well, yeah, it looks pretty safe, but you get it into, a large population, then all of a sudden you find out, oops, it's causing problems,
mm-hmm.
and it would be, again, if you're not labeling your food to say that this is genetically engineered, and there's no indication that this would be labeled as such. This is even more danger to the public because they don't even have a choice. They go to the supermarket and they pick up some salmon. This looks like great salmon. It's cheaper than the wild salmon. And lo and behold, people start having allergic reactions. Mm-hmm. People could start getting an increase in cancer because the growth factor that was introduced into the salmon, that growth factor is still in the salmon, and that growth factor causes cancer in people. That is known. So why anyone in their right mind would think that, you know, this product is going to be safe, is beyond me.
But, and how anybody with a sense of moral obligation could oppose labeling, honest labeling, is beyond me. I mean, I'm sure I know why it happens. It's all about money. But somehow that moral obligation's got to take priority, and that's where we just fall on our faces, I think.
Well, yeah, I think it's up to the public to demand that these products are labeled. And we talked about in the earlier program Proposition 37
California.
In California. Mm-hmm. And that was defeated because of big money from these ag chemical companies, and
again, Monsanto in particular,
as well as the food industry was lobbying against that proposition. So the public lost out. It's not the end of the story because this is drawing more and more attention, and the more attention that it draws. We as consumers must demand that products like this are labeled, and that's what will keep it off the market. Because once you know that what you're eating, or what you could possibly be eating, if you have a choice of a genetically engineered product that could cause, you know, some problems, or non-genetically engineered, if you have the money and if you have if you've done your research, you're not going to buy the genetically engineered product.
Mm-hmm. And nothing we've talked about here on Broken Road Radio, of all the controversial things we've covered over the last year or so, none of those things have garnered the attention that genetically engineered food has in terms of subject matter. People going to our audio archives and downloading podcasts and listening to your thoughts on this. This article by Dr. Mercola is dated January the 8th, and it talks about 60 days available to comment, for the public to comment, on the environmental assessment plan. And I guess there's an FDA website. How do you do that, Don? Do you know? Because you can make comment.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the article. There's links in the article itself. The information for the FDA, and you have to comment in writing. So it's not one of these things that you're going to necessarily do via email. But it will give the address, and you have to specifically reference this type of product that you're commenting against.
And there's some other links to other organizations who are fighting on behalf of organic food producers and the like. There's the Organic Consumers Fund, also mentioned in the article. There's a petition in Washington State, I-522 petition. I don't know anything about it, but that's a reference there. It says in Vermont. There's the Vermont Right to Know GMOs petition. So this is, yeah, you're right. This is bubbling up all around the country right now. And I'm pleased that we can draw some attention to it. So Frankenfish, maybe a year or two away from your supermarket, and maybe you ought to be aware of that. And maybe you'd like to do something to prevent it. What you might do is go to Mercola.com. You can just search for Frankenfish or genetically engineered salmon. You'll find the article and come by all those links. So interesting stuff. Don the Harbinger, I'm not sure how this, that is such a big topic. How do we approach that? We could do that all year, couldn't we?
Yeah, well,
we could do each of the nine harbingers.
The book obviously has nine warnings for America. So maybe we take it a little bit at a time. I don't know if we necessarily, you know, need to do the whole thing in one radio program, if indeed that's possible.
Well, that, I don't want to spoil the book for people either, because I'd really rather have them read the whole book. In fact, why don't we just plain make that a suggestion to you? Get a hold of a copy of The Harbinger. It's by, and I'm forgetting, I don't have the book in front of me. Khan is the author's name, C-A-H-N. Was it Roger? What was his first name?
I'm looking at... It's Jonathan
Kahn.
Jonathan Kahn.
And he has a ministry he's active in. It's the Jewish American. It's a Jewish American organization in New Jersey that he heads up. And this book is stunning in its applicability to the here and now. Even though it centers on a prophecy made by Isaiah about 700 BC or thereabouts. Interesting stuff. So the Harbinger. We'll take that up next week, Don. And delve into that a little bit, but that's a fascinating book. It's a fast read. It doesn't take long. to read that book.
Say what do you define as fast?
Well, you know, I'm a slow reader, and I want to digest every word. So I took probably 4 or 5 days with it.
I'm a fairly quick reader too, but since I've started the Harbingers, I think I've read 6 other books. So I pick and choose. I've got about 3 books going right now at the same time. I picked up, I was at the library last week and found Bill O'Reilly's Killing Kennedy.
Ooh,
and so, okay. And that's on a seven day loan period. So I've got to get through that one.
Okay,
yeah.
You got to get
so, but priority. that's that's very good. I'm enjoying that a lot.
That would be interesting.
There was something just recently that someone, I think I was talking to somebody about the book, and it was a young person in their late teens, early 20s.
Talking about the Harbinger?
No, about Killing Kennedy.
Oh, okay.
And I said, and she said, wow, that was really good. And I looked at it, I said, I remember when he was shot. And she says, you do? Yes, there was actually people living at that time, yeah. And I was one of them.
I was one of them too. I was in grammar school at the time.
It's just those are things you never forget. And you know, and the thing that I've gotten about the Harbinger so far, and you know, and the chapter will go along, and it happens just about every chapter that I've read so far, and you know, and the prophet will make the suggestion and this and hand over the seal, and this is what to look for. And I'll listen to it, and I'll say, wait a minute. I mean, this is my skeptical voice inside saying, wait a minute. And then by the end of the chapter, I said,
That's the way it works.
And the next one, and, you know, and by the next chapter, my skeptical mind kicks in again. I said, okay, I bought the last one, but wait a minute. And then by the end of the chapter, oh, really? Oh, so I'm about halfway through.
No, I was a little put off with it at first in that it's a story format. And as I went through the book, I'm thinking, why did he do this? Why did he choose this way to tell? Because it pertains to real life events in the here and now. And it's right. It's like it almost like a documentary, but told as almost a novella here, a short novel. But he explains that. He brings it together at the end, and it makes great good sense why he did it that way. But it caused me to take a little lower view of the book to begin with, but that soon evaporated once I got into the details. The Harbinger by Jonathan Cahn, C-A-H-N. I think everybody ought to read it. We'll talk about it next week. Don, your connection is doing fine. Don's using his home Wi-Fi today. He was forcibly ejected from the coffee house where he used to... Actually, he wasn't.
Unfortunately, the coffee house closed, so...
Yeah. So he hung around outside until they changed their password, and now it's an interior design studio, is it not, out there?
That's correct, okay. Yes.
Well, that's...
Yes, so we'll see how she does with interior design. It's something she did before she got into the coffee business. And apparently is quite good at it. We're considering using her for our to help us design our tasting room
and
winery.
Okay.
So
all right.
We'll see.
Going to be a high class place, I think, David. I think we're going to have to go visit.
Oh yeah.
No, yeah, it'd be worth it. Definitely worth a trip one of these days.
I'm thinking. I'm seeing road trip.
Yeah, maybe like a January February trip would be nice. Yeah, I think so. Don Clark, member of the board of directors at creationmoments.com, biochemist, visits with us during the 8 o'clock hour Central Time just about every Monday. Don, we're so pleased. Hope you get over your cold, and we'll look forward to taking on the Harbinger next Monday, okay?
Okay, sounds great. Good talking with you all.
Take care.
Talk to you later, Don.
Music from David Edwards continues our Monday morning experience here along the Broken Road. Good morning to you.